Chapter 2. The Power of Stem Cells, Harnessing Nature's Repair Kit. The regenerative medicine revolution is upon us, like iron and steel to the Industrial Revolution, like the microchip to the tech revolution. Stem cells will be the driving force of this next revolution. Cade Hildreth, founder of Bioinformant, a stem cell industry research firm. In this chapter, you'll learn about stem cells, the basic building blocks of every tissue and organ in the body. Most of all, we'll share with you the compelling clinical results that are being generated on a daily basis. The early results are in, and they are nothing short of spectacular. In this chapter, you'll learn how athletes like Tiger Woods, Rafael Nadal, and Cristiano Ronaldo have used stem cells to recover from torn ligaments and degenerative back pain without surgery, and often within weeks rather than months. 5 patients with age-related macular degeneration, a progressive condition that commonly leads to blindness, stabilized their eyesight. A young man in California regained the use of his hands and arms after a car crash had left him paralyzed from the neck down and now plans to walk again. A 4-year-old boy overcame the odds and beat leukemia with the help of stem cells from his newborn sister. A teenager put the lifelong agony of sickle cell anemia behind her. A 26-year-old woman who'd been immobilized by multiple sclerosis is now out on the ski slopes. All told, well over 1 million people have seen their lives transformed or even rescued by stem cells. This chapter is special to me because I am one of them. To discover more about these amazing breakthroughs, stay with me. What you'll learn might change your life too. In the beginning, there is the stem cell. It is the origin of an organism's life. Dr. Stuart Sell, an immunologist who has studied the link between stem cells and cancer for 50 years. I was still in searing nerve pain from my torn rotator cuff when I first met Dr. Bob Hariri, the surgeon, scientist, entrepreneur, who's one of the early pioneers in stem cell biology. For some reason, I'd imagined a skinny, older, balding guy in a lab coat. Bob was the best at what he did, and I assumed he'd be reserved and maybe a little arrogant. Was I ever wrong? In walked this muscular, charismatic guy with a full head of hair and the most unbelievably warm and humble manner. Pulling no punches, Bob proceeded to give me the short-form education of a lifetime, and right away, I knew we'd be great friends. For 20 years, he'd been on a crusade to bring the best and safest stem cell therapies to the U.S. mass market, to transform reactive sick care into proactive, precision health care. Dr. Bob is the rare individual who's decided to change the world. And here's the kicker. He's got the intelligence, the savvy, the experience, and the bulldog tenacity to pull it off. I know you've heard about stem cells, the precious birthright given to each and every one of us. They have 2 unique superpowers. Unlike other cells, they can divide and renew themselves for a lifetime. What's more, like a cellular skeleton key, they can unlock an almost limitless array of healing powers. They can differentiate into whatever type of cell our body needs. They can repair or replace more specialized tissues in our skin, bone, muscle, blood, retinas, liver, heart, and brain. On top of everything else, stem cells can strengthen our immune system to help keep us healthy and strong. In a nutshell, stem cells are the body's repair kit. They deliver the raw material, the molecular signals and growth factors that enable us to stave off disease, bounce back from injury, and live our lives with optimal energy and at peak performance. Heading into my talk with Dr. Bob, I'd done my due diligence. I knew that the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the strictest medical regulatory body in the world, had overseen the use of stem cells for more than 80 diseases of the blood and immune system, including leukemias and lymphomas. I knew that more than 1 million people had undergone stem cell transplants worldwide, with disease-free survival rates as high as 90%+. Hundreds of thousands more have made it safely through clinical trials for autoimmune diseases, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and many other chronic conditions. I knew firsthand of several people with joint problems who swore by their off-label stem cell treatments. I found several small studies that suggested the benefits were real, But when I went to three different specialists to try and deal with the massive pain that my torn rotator cuff was causing, all I heard was a chorus of negativity. Stem cells aren't proven, they told me. Stem cells hadn't been approved for what ailed me, they insisted. It's not worth the risk, one said. You've got a serious condition. You need immediate surgery, not pie-in-the-sky promises. Maybe you've run into similar remarks from your own doctors. It's what happens to patients who start looking at alternatives to the official standard of care. I heard those specialists out. They were smart and accomplished, and I'm sure they wanted the best for me. But I couldn't escape the nagging intuition that my solution wouldn't be found on an operating table. In an average year, I'm up on stage in 115 cities and 12 to 16 countries, some of them multiple times. I take my commitments seriously. Months of downtime rehabbing from surgery just wasn't going to work for me. To get the help I needed, I had to travel to another country, to a place where my body could heal itself with some natural encouragement. I'll admit that I wasn't crazy about my stem cell options inside the U.S., where clinics extract autologous cells, a big word for cells from your own body, out of a patient's own adipose, fat tissue, or bone marrow. That's a painful, invasive procedure, and what's worse, the results are unreliable. At best, I would be putting my old stem cells back to work and hoping they'd get the job done with a wish and a prayer. After weeks of investigation, I thought I'd hit a dead end. I was in a bad way, hurting and discouraged, until I met Dr. Bob Hariri. Cutting straight to the chase, Bob told me that autologous fat-derived stem cells had significant clinical limitations. As he explained it, our tissues and organs go through a continuous process of renovation and renewal, a process naturally driven by our stem cells. Here's the catch. From the moment we're born, our stem cell reservoir starts drying up. It's a process called stem cell exhaustion, and it's believed to be one of the main causes of aging. As we get older, some of our stem cells get used up. Most of them stick around, but lose the ability to repair or replace our damaged tissues. As we reach 25 or 30, the rate of decay begins to accelerate. By age 80, we might have 1,000th the number of stem cells we had as an infant, and the few we have left are barely wheezing along. Our bodies, our fine-tuned, natural regenerative machines, start running into problems they can no longer fix. Bob's a gifted communicator, and he laid it out to me. Picture your body as a beautiful mansion. When it was first built, it came with a big staff of maintenance and repair people who knew just what to do when anything went wrong. They'd fix leaks in the pipes or shorts in the wiring before small problems became big ones. You wouldn't even have to ask. Then the years pass and your mansion gets older. The staff is dying off, or they're exhausted or senile. They can't keep up with the holes in the roof anymore or the mold in the master bedroom. Worse yet, the materials they need for repairs start to run out, and the ones they've got left aren't as good as the originals. At some point, the mansion falls apart. At the time, I was 56, and I took his point. My aging resident stem cells might not be up to the job of healing my shoulder. In a perfect world, Bob said, we'd be calling in the cavalry from the most abundant source of fresh stem cells, the placenta, after a healthy birth. The placenta is the organ that protects fetuses from harm and provides the oxygen, nutrients, and growth factors they need to flourish, or what Peter calls nature's own 3D printer that manufactures the baby. As Bob will tell you, human beings are at their biological best at birth. It goes downhill from there. Frozen at age zero, placental cells are in top condition. Their DNA is uncorrupted by viruses or UV rays, untainted by alcohol or tobacco or the cosmic radiation that penetrates planes at high altitude. They're as close to a pure natural commodity as it gets. Best of all, they come from the natural afterbirth of a healthy newborn, which makes them both plentiful and free of ethical issues in their use. During Bob's surgical training at Cornell, he was intrigued by fetal surgery performed in utero on an unborn patient with spina bifida, a disease where the backbone fails to completely close, damaging the spinal cord and leading to disabling birth defects. The surgeon opened the pregnant mother's uterus, pulled out the fetus, sewed up its back to cover its spine, and returned it to the uterus. Months later, after the birth, Dr. Bob was astonished to find a thriving infant without the faintest trace of a scar. It was as though the surgery had never happened. And Bob realized, if we could harness this regenerative power, we might be literally able to rebuild ourselves. Did you know that our species has X-Men potential that has yet to be fully explored? In a paper co-written with stem cell godfather Arnold Kaplan of Case Western Reserve University, Bob noted that infants and even some young children can regrow severed fingertips as long as the wound isn't stitched up. They channel their inner salamander to regenerate the lost tissue. And how about this for a bonus? The placenta also acts as a defense system to protect the developing fetus from a wide range of threats. The organ contains supercharged anti-cancer immune cells, which may be one big reason that it's virtually unheard of for pregnant mothers with cancer to pass it on to their babies. Are you convinced yet? I sure was. But then Dr. Bob gave me the bad news. Despite their apparent safe and effective track record wherever their use was permitted, placenta-derived cells weren't as yet approved as an orthopedic therapy in the United States. As Bob explained it, the FDA has the enormous responsibility to guide and ensure the safe use of these therapies, and there was still a lot of work to be done. My remedy seemed so close, and yet so far. It was really frustrating. Fortunately for me, Bob's a bulldog. He solves problems for breakfast. He knew of a clinic in Panama that had permission to treat patients with the next best thing to placental cells, high-quality stem cells from umbilical cords. "This isn't fetal tissue, it's nothing like that," he emphasized. For decades, he told me, babies' umbilical cords and placentas were simply thrown away after birth, even though they were a lot more powerful than your own aging stem cells. Dr. Bob shared with me story after story of clients with all sorts of dramatically positive results after treatment with these pristine stem cells. I put on my consumer hat and asked the next obvious question. How much did it cost? I reached out to the Panama Clinic and learned that treatments could range from $10,000 up to $25,000. Knees or ankles or elbows could often be treated for as little as $5,000, but my rotator cuff was a lot more involved. Though I trusted Bob explicitly, I had a moment of sticker shock. Up to $25,000? Are you kidding me? But as Bob reminded me, shoulder surgery can cost that much or more, and that was before you factor in the expense of months of rehab and recovery time. And even after the surgery, there was no guarantee I'd get back to where I was before I got hurt. Still, I hesitated. I had no way of knowing then that this treatment would be the biggest bargain of my life. At the time, my nerve pain was nearly unbearable. If I moved my shoulder just a tiny bit at the wrong angle, it was like an electric shock. It literally took my breath away, the pain was so strong. My career was on the line, I couldn't afford a mistake. Why should I listen to Bob and head to Central America when all these well-known specialists were steering me in the opposite direction? Then I did what I do in these situations. I evaluate the risk-reward proposition. If stem cells didn't work, what would be my worst-case scenario? I could still go in for the surgery. But if the stem cells worked, I could be out of pain immediately and have a fully functional shoulder with a much shorter recovery time. So, why not give them a shot? I don't know about you, but if my choice is between a needle and a knife, you can give me the needle every time. Most of all, I trusted Dr. Bob, a working-class kid from Queens who found his calling to become one of the world's top neurosurgeon scientists, a matchless innovator in microsurgery, and then a father of regenerative medicine. He's someone who defied the conventional wisdom to find an alternative road to rejuvenation. It wasn't paved with toxic chemicals, but with living cells, the original building blocks of life. Over the years, Dr. Bob has saved so many lives. But how he got to where he is today is a fascinating saga. It shows how any of us can find our life's answers if we stay true to what drives us. In Bob's case, his overwhelming desire to help people, to heal their pain, and to transform the field of regenerative medicine. The Power of Young Blood. Dr. Bob's glorious obsession with the power of stem cells began in the early 1980s, nearly 40 years ago, when he was an MD-PhD student in New York at Cornell. For his dissertation, he wanted to do something that could truly make a difference, so he focused on a major cause of heart disease and heart attacks, the world's number one killer: the thickening of the arteries known as atherosclerosis. According to the conventional wisdom of the day, atherosclerosis was caused by metabolic problems like high blood pressure and cholesterol, but Bob suspected that it might instead be driven by age-related inflammation. After teaching himself microsurgery, he did something that would alter the history of our understanding of stem cells. In essence, he swapped out microscopic blood vessels from young mice and put them into older mice, and vice versa. What happened next was astounding. First, the older mice appeared to get younger. Their hair became thicker and darker, their muscles got stronger. They zipped through their mazes much faster. Meanwhile, just the opposite happened to the young mice who'd received the older mice's blood vessels. They seemed more lethargic, they went downhill, they started breaking down. Bob wanted to see if there might be factors in young blood that could help the older animals heal. So, he made an incision in the transplanted tissue in both groups to gauge how fast the damage would be repaired. Once again, he observed something amazing. The injured tissues from the older mice healed quickly inside the younger animals, at a miraculous rate. In fact, they healed even faster than the young blood vessels he'd put into the older mice. Dr. Bob had made an extraordinary discovery. He'd accomplished a feat of rejuvenation that most had thought impossible. Though it would be years before Bob and others would demonstrate that our stem cells are depleted and weaker with age, the seed had been planted. Inflammation, Bob realized, was the slow sweep second hand of the clock of aging. It's always going around, always adding time. Your state of inflammation circulates the factors that erode your organs and tissues, which damages your reservoir of stem cells. From that point forward, Bob said, my thesis became that aging was really a stem cell problem. What's more, the mice experiments showed that you could turn back time within an organism. That time could be subtracted as well as added. Stem cells had the power to reduce inflammation, heal tissues, restore organs, and bring back youthful functionality. What was the upshot? It meant that aging was reversible. That's when Bob realized that stem cells would inevitably become a disruptive health technology across a wide range of ailments. All that was missing, he said, was a product that a doctor could deliver like a pharmaceutical or any other therapeutic. But Bob also knew the field would never flourish as long as it relied on embryonic or fetal stem cells, and he thought, there has to be a better mousetrap. The power of the placenta. The placenta is a supply depot for stem cells, Dr. Bob Hariri. A few years later, he found it. When Bob hustled in from work to see the first trimester ultrasound of his daughter, Alex, she was the size of a peanut, perfectly normal. What surprised Bob was the placenta. It seemed gigantic, much bigger than he'd expected, and way out of proportion to the unborn child. Like all former med students, Bob had been taught that the placenta was a vascular interface between mother and developing fetus, a dense collection of blood vessels for channeling vital nutrients and oxygen. No more and no less. But if that's all there was to it, he wondered, wouldn't the placenta develop in lockstep with the fetus it was nourishing? What possible reason could there be for the placenta to get so big so soon? Bob probably wasn't the first medical scientist to notice this anomaly, but he was probably the first one to obsessively investigate it and to understand the placenta's biological value. He theorized that these organs had been ignored because they come out looking horribly alien and bloody. Maybe being a trauma surgeon and not the least bit squeamish made it easier for me to appreciate them. Bob was trained as an engineer before he became a doctor. Engineers know that form follows function. Ergo, the placenta had to be more than an interface. Bob thought it must somehow govern development, controlling the baby's growth rate. But if so, why and how? His engineer's brain kept gnawing at the problem. One day, he fished a placenta out of a medical waste bin and brought it back to his lab. People thought I was a lunatic. When he perfused it with fluid and began taking it apart, it didn't look like a vascular interface. It looked like a bioreactor. It's a very lobular organ with dense areas of tissues and huge numbers of cells, and those cells are dividing and propagating and differentiating, and they're making their way from the bloodstream of the placenta to the bloodstream of the fetus. That's when it dawned on me, Bob said, that maybe the placenta was a supply depot for fetal stem cells, and I was offended that people were throwing these fantastic organs away. The rest is history. Bob left Cornell and founded LifeBank USA, which used patented technology to harvest and test and preserve cord blood and placental stem cells in nitrogen-cooled freezers. The service was offered to new parents who wanted to deposit the stem cells of their newborn, preserving the child's original uncorrupted DNA and their pluripotent stem cells. What's the point of this? Those stem cells may be used in the future to regrow organs or repair damage. Talk about a rainy day account. Over the next 20 years, Bob threw himself into stem cell science. His research team, anchored by Chaoqi Zhang, Ph.D., from prestigious Rockefeller University, and Chun Yi, Ph.D., from Memorial Sloan Kettering, confirmed that the placenta manufactured huge numbers of pluripotent stem cells. What does pluripotent mean? These are cells that can develop into almost any tissue or organ, skin or brain, heart or bones, lungs or pancreas or bladder. By contrast, cord blood stem cells extracted from umbilical cord blood can differentiate only into different types of blood cells. In their undifferentiated state, placental pluripotent cells contain a complete set of the information that's housed in our DNA, and in out-of-the-box condition, like the master installation disk inside a vintage laptop. As Bob explains, you used to run your computer off your installer disk, right? You installed the software and then you put the disk away. You protected it from anything that would corrupt the software, like sources of electromagnetic radiation, just in case you needed it down the road. And if the software in your computer started to go bad, you could just erase it and reinstall it, and it was like new again. With placental stem cells, I thought I could protect the biological software in the DNA by putting it into a deep freeze. So when somebody needs it, we can give them their stem cells with their full, uncorrupted genome, the blueprint for all their proteins and enzymes and so on. That was my theory. Once babies are born and their afterbirth tissue is discarded, there's no retrieving those flawless stem cells, our pitch-perfect installer disks. Bob will never forget a couple who'd been discouraged by their family doctor from banking their firstborn's cord blood. When their second child developed leukemia and desperately needed a stem cell transplant, the couple came back to him in tears. A potential cure had slipped through their fingers. Peter Diamandis has banked the placentas for his twin boys with LifeBank USA. I've done the same for my baby daughter, and we've invested in this organization to make this the norm. As Bob says, science is always evolving with tremendous applications in store. If your baby was born with a spare set of lungs or kidneys, why would you throw them out at birth? Unlike autologous stem cells from our own fat tissue or bone marrow, the use of placental stem cells involves zero risk or discomfort for donors. They can be standardized and made available on short notice like any off-the-shelf medicine. Service-based expenses, the line items that make other therapies so exorbitant, are eliminated. And once stem cell products are manufactured at scale, they'll be affordable across the board. With roughly 140 million births per year across the globe, placenta-derived stem cells could usher in a future of democratized, regenerative, and precision medicine. They could be made available to everyone, regardless of wealth or income. A single placenta supplies more than 100,000 therapeutic doses, exponentially more than umbilical cords or any other source. Bob took this information and built a startup called Anthrogenesis. Then he merged it with Celgene, the world's largest biotechnology company. Over the next 7 years, as Bob ran Celgene's cellular therapeutics division, He uncovered more about cellular medicine's potential to treat diabetes, Crohn's disease, skin wounds and burns, even the malignant solid tumors that have vexed the most gifted minds in science. In 2017, Bob teamed up with Peter Diamandis to spin off a new enterprise, Cellularity. I also invested in the company, which is now a publicly traded company on NASDAQ. This biorefinery is setting the bar for an array of off-the-shelf therapies, from pluripotent stem cells to modified T cells and natural killer NK cells. Bob described how Cellularity is already beginning to change the game by treating leukemias and other blood cancers with placenta-derived natural killer cells. Once FDA approval is in place, the company will have the capacity to deliver millions of treatments for a myriad of other cancers. What a crazy turnaround for the placenta, from medical trash into healing liquid gold. As for embryonic stem cells, Bob considers them unsuitable for broad clinical applications. Ethical questions aside, he believes that placental cells are flat out superior for the development of medicines. A lot of fertilized eggs can make it to a blastocyst stage embryo, but not be good enough to make it through a full-term pregnancy. When you take a close look at embryonic stem cell lines, a very large number, as many as 80%, have gross chromosomal abnormalities. These defects would ordinarily stop a pregnancy from going all the way to full term, which is what happens when a woman has a missed period. Off the bat, that's a quality control nightmare for embryonic stem cells. And Bob went on, "I'd argue that stem cells from a placenta, from a healthy newborn, come with a good housekeeping seal, approved by Mother Nature." 10 years after he started working with placenta-derived stem cells, Bob found his proof of concept for a new platform to develop regenerative therapeutics. Quentin Murray, a 4-year-old boy from New Orleans, was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. With his bone marrow glutting his system with immature white blood cells, Quentin's chances of survival were pegged at under 30%. As luck would have it, the boy's mother was 5 months pregnant with her second child, a girl. When Jory was born, her doctors rushed a blood sample to Celgene for analysis. Bob's hope was to treat Quentin with a two-pronged approach. The cord blood cells would rebuild his bone marrow. Plus, I believe the placental cells would boost the potency of the cord blood cells and possibly have an anti-tumor effect. Everyone held their breath. The odds of a cord blood match between boy-girl siblings was about 25%, a genetic crapshoot, Bob says. This time, it worked. Jory's placenta and cord blood were shipped to LifeBank USA for cryopreservation. In March 2008, after the FDA approved the procedure as a special compassionate use, Quentin became the first U.S. patient to receive a donor transplant consisting of cord blood and placental cells. The young patient came through with flying colors. In fact, Quentin rallied so quickly that the hospital discharged him a week earlier than the typical cord blood transplant recipient. 10 years later, he shared his experience at the Vatican Conference. It was one of the most moving and powerful stories that was shared that week. Quentin is still in remission today, an active teenager who loves playing the trombone and video games. Little sister Jory takes credit for everything he does. After all, he wouldn't be around without her, and the stem cells she gave him. Stem cells, nature's regenerative engine. On my first day in Panama, I had my first painless half-hour IV stem cell infusion and 3 injections into my rotator cuff, and I felt okay. After the second day's treatment, I had what's often called a cytokine response. I felt chills and shaking, but I wasn't scared. They told me it was normal. Your body's healing, just get some rest. The shaking passed after about 20 minutes. The next morning, before my final treatment, I woke up and something miraculous happened. I stood up, and for the first time in 14 years, I felt nothing. No pain, no stiffness in my spine, no stabbing in my suddenly flexible shoulder, not so much as a twinge. And here was the most amazing part. After so many years of agony from my spinal stenosis, now I was standing straight and strong without an ounce of pain in my back. It felt supple and free, better than it had in decades. You know that expression, I felt like a brand new person? Without exaggeration, that new person was me. 6 years later, my shoulder is still perfect with full range of motion. I don't baby it. To be honest, I don't even really think about it. I took the road less traveled on and never looked back. My body healed itself with nature's creators of sheer life force, with stem cells. When I first got back home, nobody could believe it, not even my trainer. How could you possibly heal that shoulder that quickly without surgery? He said. This is mind-blowing. Not long after, I saw a dear friend of mine, an entrepreneur and movie producer who'd also torn his rotator cuff. I informed him of the power of stem cells, and he was intrigued. But he went to some of the best surgeons in Los Angeles, the ones who treat star athletes, and they told him what my specialists had told me. Stem cells will never work, it's a pipe dream. So my friend went in for surgery. I felt so sad and frustrated watching him endure that painful experience and all the subsequent time it took for his rehab. Since then, I've had better luck persuading other people to get a second opinion and give stem cells a try, and I've been delighted to witness miraculous healing for them as well. In my case, I also received an unexpected dividend from the treatment. For about a year, I'd worked with Tim Royer, PhD, one of the world's top neuropsychologists, someone who's consulted by top NFL teams before they choose their next quarterback in the draft. He measures athletes' current brain capacity and projects what they might accomplish if that capacity was enhanced. He's helped me maximize my own capacity to stay in the zone for peak performance at my events, in business, and in life. Dr. Royer has archived a history of my EEG brainwaves. After I returned from Panama, he tested me again, and he said, "This is crazy. Your brain is able to do things I've been trying to get it to do over months of training. And it's doing it instantly and easily. What have you done?" I shared with him my experience with stem cells, and he said, "I have to find out more about this." He called Dr. Bob Hariri and said, "I've got to talk to you about Tony. I don't know what he's been doing, but his quantitative performance has dramatically improved. His brain looks 20 years younger." Long story short, regenerative medicine changed my life, and maybe it can change yours as well. My experience isn't unusual. Dozens of world-class athletes, including Tiger Woods, Rafael Nadal, Alex Rodriguez, and the late Kobe Bryant, have turned to stem cells for pain and injuries that threatened to ground them. Golfing legend Jack Nicklaus, dogged by chronic back pain since he was a teenager, chose a stem cell treatment in Germany over spinal fusion surgery. He took the stage at the Vatican conference that I told you about in our first chapter. The therapy went so well, he reported, that he was going back for a second helping for his cranky shoulder. "I can now hit a tennis ball and a golf ball without hurting," he said, sounding awfully gleeful for a 78-year-old. "I've become a believer." I've heard similar reports from everyday runners and gym enthusiasts and corporate league ballers, from people just like you. After my miraculous healing experience in Panama and the amazing changes in my spine and shoulder, I became obsessed about showing other people what stem cells could do. But I knew something was still missing from the picture: broad availability. And so I asked Bob, "How are you going to get all of this out to the general public so they can have access to these incredible technologies?" A few months later, Bob came back with an answer. He envisioned a place where we could work with all sorts of people to get to understand and meet their needs. Athletes and biohackers laser-focused on performance, ordinary people craving more energy, or anyone seeking to ward off a big health challenge or to find non-traditional options for treatment if that challenge has already arrived. He and Peter decided to form a new company called Fountain Life. They brought together advanced diagnostics, MRIs, CTs, genomics, alongside their state-of-the-art therapeutic tools from Celularity, with the leadership of Dr. William Kapp, a renowned orthopedic surgeon with master's degrees in immunology and genetics. Dr. Kapp has an extraordinary passion for healing people and a rare capacity to target the real source of any problem. Some people call this common sense, which you and I know is anything but common. After building 9 hospitals from scratch, he decided he was done with the sick care business and was ready to perform more proactive, predictive, personalized healthcare. Together, the partners asked me to join them as a co-founder. Our new venture has opened 6 Fountain Life centers across the U.S. and is on track to expand up to 9 in the U.S. and 3 overseas by the end of 2023. Think of Fountain Life as your personal health coach, identifying the most advanced and effective treatments available today and delivering them to its members. While you'll still be the CEO of your own health, Fountain Life can assist you in maximizing your strength, energy, and quality of life. The company's unique fitness centers incorporate a patented AI-driven 30-minute workout to help you build muscle mass, an essential component of vitality and extended health span. Fountain Life's clients range from billionaire business people to soccer moms to the Pittsburgh Steelers. You say you don't live near a Fountain Life center? I've got good news for you. You don't need to wait to join the regenerative medicine revolution. We've created a new app, Fountain OS, that can assess your true state of health, gain access to an AI-driven suite of diagnostics, and help steer your health span journey. Your doctor can even use it to coordinate some of the most advanced tests for you. You'll find out more about this in our third chapter on diagnostics. In the meantime, you can download the free Fountain OS app at www.lifeforce.com. Why did I get involved with Fountain Life? Because I'd experienced firsthand the tremendous benefits of advanced diagnostics and cell therapy and wanted others to share it. Plus, I wanted to stay on the cutting edge for my own sake and my family's as well. Most of all, I shared my co-founder's vision to scale up delivery of these marvelous therapies and make them accessible to millions of people. Peter, Bob, Bill Kapp, and I are on a mission to democratize regenerative medicine and make it widely available. We're leveraging the impact of many new breakthrough treatments, as well as allogenic stem cells, a $10 word that basically means they come from someone else, not from you. Over time, we're determined to find a way to slash the cost of pharmaceutical-quality off-the-shelf cellular medicines and treatments by 90% or more. That would bring us down to $2,000 to $3,000 to treat a typical case of osteoarthritis. It boils down to this. Bob had a beautiful, audacious dream, and I wanted to be part of it. He imagines a world where we'll all be able to recharge our natural regenerative engine to manage and contain the causes of premature death and chronic illness. He wants athletes to be able to perform at a higher level and ordinary people to have an extraordinary energy level and quality of life. It's a wildly ambitious vision, no doubt about it, but that's something I love about Bob, Peter, and Bill, and it's what makes me feel most alive. We go all in on everything we do. On top of everything else, we're all pilots. Years ago, Bob and Peter founded the Rocket Racing League, the world's first civilian use of custom-built rocket-propelled airplanes just for fun. In any voyage that demands on-point navigation and rapid acceleration, I want Bob and Peter and Bill on my side. Besides, I've got a passion for hanging out with geniuses. In my experience, something rubs off when you're around people this brilliant. Proximity is power. So now, before diving into the bigger picture of stem cells and their enormous promise, allow me to let you hear directly from Dr. Bob Hariri in his own words. Bob, you're on.
Thanks, Tony. I want to give some context to the story that Tony just shared with you. Let's face it, Tony Robbins is an extreme athlete. At 6'7", 280 pounds, he takes on physiological demands that are unprecedented for even 20 or 30-year-olds, much less someone who's 62 years of age. You can't limit a physical specimen who goes on stage and does things other human beings cannot match. After Tony tore his rotator cuff and was diagnosed with spinal stenosis at the same time, I knew that the conventional therapies for degenerative joint disease had a low probability of getting him back to the level his lifestyle demands. And let's be real. Once you've replaced a joint surgically, you've crossed the Rubicon. It's an irreversible process. So for Tony, stem cell therapy turned out to be a reasonable option. If it failed, he could always go back and have the surgery. But if it didn't fail, that might actually be transformational in the management of his problem. And now we have one of the most trusted voices in the world who put himself on the line to learn how stem cells actually worked. Because Tony experienced the results in his own body, he can speak with real authority. Like few others, he's put in the time and effort to understand the expert's landscape in cellular medicine. Now, back when I formed Cellularity, it was a product of 2 decades of scientific and clinical efforts to develop cellular medicines and deliver them with the quality, affordability, and scale to allow for a wide range of clinical applications. And these included things like autoimmune disease, one of the 10 leading causes of death for young and middle-aged women, as well as in the treatment of cancer. In cancer immunotherapy, we're aiming to disrupt the disruptors. Our objective is to make what's now a 6-figure therapy affordable and insurable for people of average means. Within the next 10 years or so, I can envision a time where cell therapy costs no more than today's biologic treatments for things like inflammatory diseases or even cancer, with far greater safety and efficacy. Around the turn of this century, we looked in the biohazard wastebasket and started isolating unique stem cells from these discarded postpartum placentas. Now the time has come to take the next step, for people to recognize cell therapy as a practical option in development to deal with all of their health problems. And that's the challenge straight ahead of us. Now, Tony, Peter, and I, along with our partner, Dr. William Kapp, see the future of cellular medicine as virtually limitless. From being able to treat your cancer to even repairing your joints or your heart or your brain. We already know how powerful these tools are, and people are beginning to get comfortable with the fact that everything indicates that they're a very safe therapeutic option. The four of us are in a hurry, though, because there's a moral imperative to accelerate these advances and make them available to everyone. Plus, let's face it, we're not getting any younger. I hope we have the chance to serve you or someone you love, either to prevent a serious problem or help you navigate a serious disease time when you need help the most. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Bob. Now, let me ask you a simple question. Have you ever bought a car or an outfit and suddenly you see it everywhere? Once we know something's important, there's a part of our brain that becomes hyper-perceptive to spot it wherever it emerges. Once I began following stem cell breakthroughs in the media and medical journals, it felt like something new was exploding every month. It dawned on me that stem cells are the backbone of today's regenerative medicine revolution, the stuff of everyday miracles. To get your full attention, we've collected just a handful of the many riveting developments that are transforming medicine as we speak. Here are 8 examples that will blow your mind. 1. At Stanford, researchers were startled when 7 stroke victims showed dramatic improvement in motor function after having stem cells injected directly into their brains. Even more amazing, all of them were treated more than 6 months after their strokes, the point where damage is usually considered permanent. A 71-year-old wheelchair-bound man could suddenly walk again. In another case, more than 2 years post-stroke, a 39-year-old woman improved so much that she regained the confidence to marry her boyfriend and get pregnant. 2. After his car fishtailed into a telephone pole, 20-year-old Chris Bozen was paralyzed from the neck down. Chris had what they call a chronic and complete spinal cord injury, a total loss of both sensation and muscle function. Then he entered a long-shot stem cell trial at the Neuro Restoration Center at the University of Southern California. Within 2 weeks, Chris had regained feeling and strength in his arms and hands. After 3 months, he was wearing out his smartphone, feeding himself breakfast, hugging his parents, even working out with weights. Before his treatment, Chris says, "I was just existing. Now I'm able to live my life." His next goal is to walk again, which isn't as far-fetched as you might think. In a study at Rutgers, 15 of 20 patients with similar injuries were walking 11 yards after treatment with cord stem cells and intensive physical therapy. 3. I read about Jennifer Molson, just 26, who'd lost feeling from the chest down from a brutally progressive case of multiple sclerosis. After joining an experimental trial in Ottawa, Canada, she received a bone marrow stem cell transplant plus chemotherapy. Now she's skiing and kayaking like a champ. 70% of her study's cohort stabilized their condition with no further deterioration. They're the first MS patients to find an effective treatment without conventional drugs. I got a second chance at life, Jennifer says. 4. Meanwhile, in London, stem cells from an HIV-resistant donor were implanted into a man with HIV and Hodgkin's lymphoma and pushed both conditions into remission. He became the second person to beat HIV with cellular medicine. While antiretroviral therapies are highly effective in treating HIV, stem cells could point the way toward the first real cure. 5. After a 57-year-old cardiologist had a massive hemorrhagic stroke that paralyzed the whole right side of his body, the FDA gave Bob Hariri's team at Cellularity special permission to treat him with placental stem cells. The man sat for an hour with his family watching TV and joking around, barely noticing the IV infusion. Less than 3 weeks later, he was standing on his own. He'd regained more than 50% of the function in his right arm. After a few more treatments, he was strong enough to return to work. Was it the cell therapy or a natural course of recovery? We don't know yet for sure. But what's indisputable, Bob said, is that the treatment was well tolerated and that it's opened the door to ongoing studies. 6. Dr. Chadwick C. Prodromos, MD, is a Princeton-educated, Johns Hopkins and Harvard-trained orthopedic surgeon, internationally renowned for his pioneering work on ACL reconstruction and editor of the textbook on the subject for orthopedic surgeons. His passion for preserving rather than replacing joints led him to becoming a world leader in the use of stem cells to avoid joint replacement for osteoarthritis. Due to FDA limitations in the United States, he opened a center in beautiful Antigua. Because the Prime Minister, Gaston Brown, has declared his goal is to make the beautiful destination the stem cell capital of the world. Now in this environment, he's able to use cultured cells and is able to avoid joint replacement in most severely arthritic patients he sees, while also never using destructive cortisone and stopping all pain-killing and anti-inflammatory medicines. With well over 1 million joint replacements performed annually in the USA, the public health implications are staggering. 7. Researchers at Osaka University in Japan are farming patches of adult skin for induced pluripotent stem cells that can grow into parts of the human eyeball, from retinas to lenses. The team treated one woman who had nearly lost her sight from a diseased cornea, the transparent sheet at the front of the eye. The damage was supposed to be permanent. A month later, the woman's vision had significantly cleared. 8. And finally, here's a story that moved me to tears. Helen Obando, a 16-year-old from Massachusetts, had suffered all her life from sickle cell anemia, the inherited blood disorder that causes agonizing pain plus heart disease and stroke in children as young as 3. For too long, doctors had nothing close to a cure. But after an infusion of her own genetically modified stem cells, Helen's bone marrow began producing normally shaped red blood cells. Over the months that followed, Helen's symptoms faded away. She joined her school's dance group, her great passion in life. At her 6-month checkup at Boston Children's Hospital, her hemoglobin count was nearly normal. The sickle cell scourge was gone. Here's what I found on Helen's Facebook page. "This year has been one of the toughest years for me. But now," she went on, "she's about to start a new life, and I'm going to live it the best I've ever lived life." Who could say it any better than that? A stem cell spray gun can heal severe burn injuries to the largest organ in your body, your skin. RECELL's regenerating gun essentially works like a paint gun, except that it sprays your own skin cells on the damaged patch of skin. With minimal scarring or risk of infection, this procedure is now an experimental alternative to skin grafts for second-degree burns and has the potential to treat third-degree burns, the most severe ones as well. I could give you dozens more of these stories without even scratching the surface. There are thousands of ongoing clinical trials with stem cells for Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, heart disease and liver ailments, type 2 diabetes, and type 1. If something in your body is broke, the odds are better than decent that a scientist somewhere believes stem cells can fix it. Paul Root Wolpe is a bioethicist at Emory University, someone whose job is to be a skeptic. He never hesitates to slam what he calls the fetishization of progress, the unquestioning worship of some bright and shiny new idea. Yet even Wolpe recently tweeted that stem cell research is turning a corner and beginning to offer the kinds of cures advocates envisioned. Sounds like a win-win for everybody, doesn't it? Could stem cells, exosomes, and other cellular therapies be the express lane to a healthier future for humanity? All that's slowing progress on these phenomenal therapies products is the gridlock that often slows approval by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Don't get me wrong, the regulators have a tough job. Dynamic living cells are very different than traditional pharmaceuticals. The FDA is hamstrung by outmoded tools and guidelines. They're also walking a knife's edge between protecting the public and fostering innovation. And I'm sure they were troubled by headlines like these. YouTube testimonials lure patients to shady stem cell clinics. Wired. Stem cell treatments flourish with little evidence that they work. New York Times. The birth tissue profiteers. New Yorker. We all know the press can sometimes go overboard with negativity, but I'm not here to shoot the messenger. The fact is, the stem cell industry has had some real problems. More than 1,000 loosely regulated clinics have set up shop in the U.S. and God knows how many more overseas. It's the Wild West out there. Some are legit operations managed by experienced medical professionals. They do their best to follow basic standards for protocols and hygiene. But even some of these facilities fall short on patient follow-up, quality control, and dose-to-dose standardization. Even the best of them can at times overpromise and underdeliver. But it gets worse, a lot worse. A few rogue operations navigate just inside the FDA's line, or count on not getting caught when they cross it. They'll promise to cure grandpa's dementia or young Johnny's autism or cerebral palsy. They'll claim that they'll make the blind see and the lame walk, all without adequate investigation or a track record of results to demonstrate real impact. Often they'll tell people they're being recruited for an important research study, knowing there are plenty of desperate patients ready to pay up front to play. There are places where semi-trained technicians whip up a stew of cells often drawn from the patient's belly fat and re-inject them in what may be a non-sterile environment. You wouldn't expect your child's pediatrician to make his own penicillin, right? Yet many stem cell clinicians are asking you to trust them to do pretty much the same thing. Most of these scenarios aren't tragic. The only harm done is to the customer's bank account. The $5,000 or $30,000 or $50,000 fee for a failed procedure that had next to no chance in the first place. But in a small handful of cases that have drawn a ton of publicity, the outcome can be a nightmare. In San Diego, California, a clinic mixed stem cells with smallpox vaccine for an unproven and dangerous cancer treatment. In Florida, three elderly women with macular degeneration went blind after being injected with stem cells derived from fat tissue in both eyes at once, a gross violation of surgical protocol. In addition, preclinical studies have linked human embryonic stem cells to benign tumors called teratomas in mice. Scary stuff, no question. But as Dr. Bob shared with me from his decades of clinical experience, cellular medicine is safe and well-tolerated when it conforms to the FDA's current good manufacturing practices, CGMP, and when it's administered as an approved IND, or investigational new drug. As compared to traditional chemical drugs and biologic agents, Bob adds, cellular medicine has an excellent safety track record in lab and clinic alike. The Florida disaster was a case of egregious negligence. After they injected improperly manufactured cells with substandard quality control, it's believed that a chemical contaminant wound up damaging the women's retinas, a runaway train of unintended consequences. But as Bob makes clear, while it's theoretically possible for stem cells to trigger growth of the wrong tissue in the wrong place, these cases are extremely rare, and with stringent clinical standards and quality controls, any risks can be minimized. You don't have to take my word for this. As Dr. Bob points out, the FDA holds companies to highly rigorous testing and quality standards. There is absolutely no data to suggest that stem cells from the placenta or bone marrow are an ignition source for malignancies. Healthy stem cells from the right source don't appear to increase the risk of cancer, Bob says. In fact, we believe that stem cell therapy may boost our immune system and lower the risk of cancer. Why are stem cells so safe? The short answer is that they don't stay in the body very long. The treatment is not some magical one-off that lasts a lifetime. While I've had no problems with my shoulder since my treatment in Panama, I appreciate the energy boosts and my body's enhanced ability to rejuvenate from stem cells. So I've given myself the benefit of regular tune-ups, a simple stem cell infusion once or twice a year. Thanks to research by groundbreaking scientists like Dr. Bob Hariri and Dr. Arnold Kaplan, we know that most imported stem cells clear out of the body within a few days, leaving behind a small reserve for a few months at most. They make their biggest impact by secreting squads of signaling molecules to energize our existing cells. These bioactive molecules are the stem cells' secret sauce. They block premature cell death and scar tissue. They stimulate the growth of fresh blood vessels and help to normalize our autoimmune response. Bottom line, stem cell secretions restore our old cells to a younger, higher-functioning state. And as Dr. Kaplan has noted, allogenic stem cells, healthy stem cells taken from a donor, have been introduced into 30,000 to 50,000 people worldwide, and we don't know of any adverse events. Does that sound like a compelling proposition to you? It certainly was enough for me to move forward with my life-changing stem cell intervention. But let us be clear. There's no free lunch in medicine. It's like the stock market, where the most successful traders are the ones who look for asymmetric risk-reward. They want the smallest possible risk with the greatest potential upside. This is exactly how you should weigh your decisions on anything you learn from any experts anywhere in the world, and including what you hear in this book. It's an essential part of our journey to an expanded quality of life and health span. As the FDA points out, all medical treatments have benefits and risks. That's another way of saying that no treatment is completely risk-free. Back surgery is a dramatic case in point. In a study of data from the Ohio Bureau of Workers' Compensation, more than 700 patients were diagnosed with herniated discs or similar conditions. Of the group undergoing spinal fusion therapy, only 26% improved enough to be able to return to work, as compared to 67% who improved enough without getting the surgery. Believe it or not, aspirin has tons of risk, from allergic reactions to gastrointestinal bleeding to strokes. So does your over-the-counter decongestant. And don't get Bob or some of the other medical scientists started about statins. Until very recently, the stem cell field was polarized between two flawed models. Elite institutions like Stanford managed boutique clinical trials with maybe a few dozen subjects and per-patient expenses running into six figures. That's great for pure science, but it's an unsustainable business model. On the other extreme were the neighborhood stem cell clinics, whose interest in follow-up pretty much ends the moment they swipe your credit card. When people are over-promising and under-delivering, the last thing they want to do is tell you how they're actually performing. Do you want to know the real tragedy of the stem cell industry? It's all the lost data from literally millions of stem cell patients, the so-called tourists passing through these clinics' revolving doors, never to be heard from again. With such a huge opportunity to help so many people, our new health span enterprise, Fountain Life, has set out to create an unassailable standard for health span optimization, from scratch. Our mission rests on three pillars. The first is diagnostics. By leveraging the latest technology, you'll see what's happening inside your body while any problem is still manageable before it becomes a major challenge. More on this in our next chapter. The second pillar is all about performance. Whether you're a professional athlete, an everyday workout fiend, or a weekend warrior, Fountain Life can guide you toward a practical plan to become your best self in body and mind with maximum vitality. The third pillar is the latest in regenerative treatments, personalized to your diagnostics and performance goals and how they fit together. These include assessing stem cell therapies, NAD plus precursor supplementation, hormone treatments, placental exosomes, and more. One of the transformational goals of Fountain Life is to bring regenerative medicine, also known as precision medicine, into the mainstream. How will they do that? Our plan at Fountain Life is to collect data on stem cell therapies under an FDA-approved investigational new drug, IND, trial. We will collect data for review and validation from an institutional review board, IRB, for submission to the FDA as part of the approval process for new biological therapies. The time is ripe. The FDA is committed to fast-tracking legitimate cellular therapies through the 21st Century Cures Act. The agency is determined to speed approval timelines for serious or life-threatening conditions: cystic fibrosis, Duchenne muscular dystrophy, Lou Gehrig's disease, and many more. Peter, Bob, Dr. Kapp, and I are eager to do whatever we can to make this new era happen, to speed the trajectory of regenerative medicine for everyone who needs it. Exosomes are composed of tiny extracellular sacs that deliver growth factors and other rejuvenating molecules from stem cells to surrounding tissues that need them most. You'll learn more about them in chapters 10 and 11. If you want to find treasure, you need a map. We have to take stem cells from bench to business to bedside. Arnold Kaplan, stem cell science icon. By the end of this decade, Peter Diamandis predicts that stem cell treatments will cost less than the price of a laptop today. For relatively small interventions for knees and elbows, prices are already dropping to that level. Eventually, these treatments will be available at your private doctor's office, with most of the price covered by private insurance or Medicare. If that sounds unlikely, consider the history of HIV/AIDS. Not so long ago, it was a death sentence. Now it's routinely managed as a chronic illness, a development that has saved millions of lives. 30 years after his life changed course with a glimpse of his daughter's ultrasound, Bob is still dreaming big dreams. He's convinced that we're about to harness the power of the living cell to treat all the chief causes of mortality: degenerative disease, cancer, autoimmune disease. Bob has never steered me wrong, and I have no doubt that we're on the cusp of a thrilling new era in regenerative medicine. But one thing kept nagging at me. How could people across this country and the world, people like you, the listeners of this book, take full advantage of these life-enhancing therapies? How could they find out what they needed and when they needed it? And how could they best protect themselves from the ravages of aging? Bob and Peter made it clear to me that the first step in avoiding a severe health problem was early diagnosis and prevention. In fact, according to Dr. Bob, experts say that it pays to begin stem cell treatments before a crisis strikes, say by age 45 or 50. You want to kill the monster when it's small, not wait until it grows into Godzilla. That's why I invested with Peter and Bob some years ago in a company called Human Longevity Inc., HLI, where my friends had partnered with Hall of Fame biotechnologist Craig Venter to advance the field of medical diagnostics, and why I invested in Cellularity Inc. as well. In the next chapter, we'll show you some tests you can do yourself, not only to perform at your best, but to flag early warning signs of heart disease, cancer, and Alzheimer's. We'll also steer you to what you can do right now to boost the quality of your health by checking the toxic metals you've accumulated from your environment. These poisons can affect your memory, your mental clarity, and your overall level of energy. Most important, we'll share how you can optimize your hormones. As we age into our 40s and 50s, sometimes even our 30s, we can see significant drops in our vitality, physical strength, and sexual drives. The good news is that these dips are reversible. We all know that if you want to find the treasure, you need a map. To get to where you want to go, you must first know where you are. And when it comes to your health, you need the best possible data to tell you where you stand and where you're headed, and what you need to change if you don't like the answers. The breakthrough technologies we're about to share with you can lead to life-saving early treatments or, knock on wood, give you priceless peace of mind. To learn more about them, let's move on to the next chapter and learn how the newest science on diagnostics and prevention can free you from some of the biggest health fears and show you the precise needs of your body in order to expand your health, vitality, and strength. Let's learn the power of diagnostics.